We've actually been chatting. We've been hanging out for the last few minutes, sort of plotting things we might talk about here in the next few episodes.
A little pregame.
Yeah. I had to calm Jim down on a couple of topics.
I'm passionate.
I like that.
You know, can't help myself. Now, I have
We have photographic proof that you're passionate.
Which might never see the light of day again, maybe. We'll see.
Not on this show. By the way, I'm still waiting for my invite to come back on your show, which is the Droning On podcast. Does everybody know that Jim is the host of the Droning On podcast and that you should go listen to that show?
There's a generous plug. I appreciate it. Here's to you, Andrew. Many thanks.
Cheers. I like the Droning On because it's sort of off-Broadway. It's an off-Broadway piping podcast.
Yeah, that seems like a good description. I've often joked with my good friend Jeremy, who has the Bagpipes and History podcast that
T2 Twag
a couple weeks ago. Yeah, exactly.
Another good one.
Yeah, but he puts so much work into preparation for his show. You know, like he plays a lot of tunes and he's going through all these archives and stuff. A lot of preparation work to put together an episode. Whereas my strategy is, my guest is the show, so I even will give myself the excuse of being like, if I preserve a state of ignorance, I'll be a better person to ask.
Speaking of media, someone could... I'm trying to segue, Jim.
That's actually a good segue. I hadn't thought of that.
Speaking of media, someone could partake in to, I don't know, spark their creative juices, to feel inspired.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of exposing yourself to a variety of points of view and interesting ideas, ..
You might say getting yourself immersed in bagpipey stuff.
You're not supposed to use the word. You lose.
Did I steal your thunder? Oops.
So yeah, we're talking about immersion today a little bit. Today's going to be a little bit less theoretical, and this is a practical immersion episode today, right, Jim?
Mm-hmm. Yes. What are some things I can do? Like, I'm going to turn this podcast off when it ends.
Yeah.
And I'm going to step away and do some things to get some of that good immersion.
Yes, but we can't do this without talking about what immersion is and why it's important.
Mm. Yeah. So when I hear the word immersion, I think liquids. I think like going swimming, you know, like I'm all the way under.
You know what I think of? I don't think of that. I think of French immersion. And maybe it's because I did a portion of my schooling in Ontario.
Oh, like language immersion. Gotcha. Yeah.
So I remember I went to St. Andrew's College boarding school in Aurora, Ontario.
Shout out.
And then my roommate, while I was there, had previously been at French immersion school.
Mm.
And interestingly, let's just say French class wasn't really a challenge for him.
Yeah.
Where I was pathetic. I was pathetically bad. And sometimes I reflect on why I was pathetically bad at French. And the first thing was I had no actual interest in learning French.
An important element when learning anything is probably interest.
Yep, exactly. And then, but then also, my roommate did French class effortlessly, obviously. He was in like the advanced French class. I was in like the beginner French class and struggling. You know what I'm saying? But the reason it was so easy for him was it's pretty easy to figure out, right? Like he spent 6 years of his life immersed in a school where, did they exclusively speak French to learn all the other stuff as well? I think they may have.
Yeah, I have limited familiarity with these programs, but from what I understand, often it's either exclusive or there are periods of exclusivity, right? So for this entire week, everything will be in French, or this week your math class will be in French, that kind of thing.
Yeah, which is like, you know, so I guess you could say immersion works, right? But then we can carry this forward to bagpiping, right? Bagpiping has never been hard for me, or it's never felt hard. I mean, there's tons of hard stuff about it, but it's never really felt hard. And it's all for, I think, those two things, right? It really interests me. So what might seem like work to somebody who isn't super interested in playing bagpipes at a high level, for me, that feels like fun, right? Mm. So that's a big thing. But then the other thing is, how many hours of just general bagpipe related stuff do I immerse myself in on a daily basis still? And then, you know, basically every day since I was 7 or 8 years old, you know, I've just been like obsessed with bagpipe stuff and soaking as much of it in as I possibly can and going to bagpipe summer schools and all this stuff. And then you look at people who are better than me. Like, you look at somebody like Alex Gandy. Like, Alex Gandy's dad is Bruce Gandy. Has anyone ever, like, you know,
think about what that might be like?
Yeah. And so it's like, Alex Gandy's dad. And then you could look at Alistair Lee is another great player that comes to mind. It's like, his dad is Terry Lee. Mm-hmm. And his uncle is Jack Lee. And his cousins are Andrew and Colin and John and, you know, and so on and so forth. It's bananas.
What a family reunion that must be, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
When those gatherings happen.
But then you get to a point where your social group are all great pipers too, right? Yeah. So now my family, my dad's a great player. But then before long, you spend your summers hanging out with your friends, but your friends are really good bagpipers. But anyway, can you see how this is all adding up to this huge immersion soup where it's just literally part of your brain? You know, it's literally built in.
Yes. And I have thought about this before, about how just like how very fortunate I am personally that I really like bagpipes a lot. And I happen to have grown up in a town that had a high school pipe band. Mm-hmm. And so during those formative years when I was making close friends and everything anyway, they were also piping and drumming, you know? And so it's like, I feel for especially the adult learner who is in a bagpiping desert, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel real lucky that sure. I got that kind of situation.
Well, and you could sort of see how that's a big part of what we do at the dojo, right? So at the dojo, what we're trying to do is provide that kind of immersion for people who are seeking it out. So it's what we're really trying to do. And so, you know, just brief sales pitch. We've got the communities at the dojo. We've got a bunch of courses. We've got the live classes. But the live classes, you're going to learn stuff. It's why I'm always so disappointed when people are like, you know, sometimes you hear, the live classes were just too hard for me, right? And then a lot of times you hear, the live classes were below my level. But I think people are missing probably the key ingredient of the live classes, which is, you know, we're getting together as pipers and kind of hanging out and just doing bagpipey stuff, which
talk
to me—
Talking shop and all that.
Yeah, talking shop. But even just kind of like strengthening social relationships gradually one day at a time. There is so much to be said for that, right?
Yeah.
It's the more fun bagpiping can be, I think the more likely you are to be successful. But we like to say immersion is the single greatest correlate to your success as a player. And by player, I mean, it could be any kind of player. It could be the Amazing Grace player at a few funerals all the way through to somebody like Glenn Brown, who's in there winning clasps and like at the absolute tip of the top, you know, but you're immersing yourself in the community and you're doing that kind of thing. But anyway, back to your point, Jim, how does the average person get that immersion if it's not sort of obvious how you might do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Like here we are right now in a podcast talking about bagpiping. So that's an option. I do have an old car. My car is very old. And so there's no Bluetooth option. But it does have a CD player. So it's not that old. But no tape player. My last car did have a tape player. That's how far behind I am.
Do you remember those tapes? Do you remember those cassette tapes that could pick up
the auxiliary plug?
The auxiliary plug. Do you remember those?
I still have one from my last vehicle because that's how I listen to music. But now I have a CD
player. And then they also have those radio. They also have those radio transmitters that you could use.
Yeah, and I do have one of those, but I wouldn't say I'm an audiophile necessarily, but I do have a hard time when I can't get the station to be just right.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah, that does. Which is funny as someone who can never get their microphone stand just right.
That's me making you suffer more than making myself suffer, and I don't have a heart. So,
yes, exactly. So anyway, Jim, before the show, I don't know if we've mentioned it yet. You want 5 practical immersion tips. That's what we're trying to get out of.
I don't know why I wanted 5, but that feels like a good number. It feels doable. It also feels like it's enough that it'll fill some time up. It'll be some good ideas.
Especially because I'm going to cheat for the first one, which is if you're listening to this podcast right now, give yourself a point because you're already doing immersion activities here. Maybe you're listening to this because Jim and I are two wild and crazy guys because I want you to drop that gif in again. Jim and I
I'll
are just
never
too
let
wild
it die.
And two wild and crazy guys and you find it entertaining, or maybe you're listening for the educational aspects of it, or maybe both. but you're doing so willingly and no one's forcing you to do this. So 1 point. So that's one out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Just turn on a podcast. And by the way, to get additional partial points, right? There's lots of other good bagpiping podcasts out there too. The new Gary West podcast seems pretty cool. I feel like, is the Piping Center doing something now? Like a little podcast? Or?
Yeah, there. It's also great YouTube content, but yeah, it's slash audio too.
Oh, and then the Big Rab Show is another highly entertaining podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then for people who like the off-color stuff, you can do the Chanter Rant. That's another good one. And, you know, how much are you going to learn about piping on the Chanter Rant? Not sure, right?
It comes through sometimes. Bagpiping comes up sometimes.
Yeah. But Andy Fusco, one of the co-hosts, he's very expert piper. Josh, if, you know, I don't know if he's listening right now, but...
If he would just shorten his blowpipe, right? If he'd shorten his blowpipe a bit, he'd blow up better, right?
He's got to fix his grips, too. Pretty rough. But yeah, and then anyway, so there's piping podcasts if you're a podcast person, and then there's tons of YouTube channels. I can't help but notice that Yori Chisholm and Jim McGillivray they've upped their YouTube education game in recent months, maybe. Is that fair to say? Even if they haven't upped it, maybe it's always been great. I've certainly been noticing some great educational stuff coming out there. There's Piping Center stuff. There's Matt Willey. It does his, just kidding, Matt Willis. That's his name, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why. Is it Bruce Willey? Is it from Key and Peele? Did they call him Bruce Willey on Key and Peele?
Maybe that's why. Yeah.
That's where Matt Willey came from. And whenever I see a video pop up, I'm like, oh, Matt Willey. And I usually check it out a little bit. So there's tons of stuff on YouTube. You know, if you want to learn how to do something, you can type into YouTube and lots of good stuff comes out.
Hmm.
And then you've got Allie Crowley Duncan on the TikToks. You've got the Lincoln
AKA
Hilton.
Piper Alley, right?
Yeah. That's right, Piper Alley. And then you've got, you see I'm old. I'm like, saying I'm explaining immersion and
say
like
their handles.
Yeah, I'm saying immersion in extremely dad style right now.
On but then the you've TikToks.
Got, yeah, and then you've got the Lincoln Hilton archive on the YouTubes.
Yeah.
And then the Drone Chorus on the YouTube. So go to YouTube and type in Drone Chorus. Drone Chorus is an actual YouTube handle, because in this case, I don't know the fellow's name off the top of my head, but he just loves the grade one pipe band competitions in the Scottish scene. So you can sort of follow the season by just being a follower of Drone Chorus on YouTube. And he does high quality audio recordings of the bands as they compete throughout the season. And there must be, what? Is there 20 years of backlogged material on there? Maybe not quite, but close.
Yeah, so much.
It's amazing. Oh, Droning On podcast. But you already got a mention. Yeah.
I'll take a second.
I was like, why is Jim being so awkward about these podcasts? Okay. But no, and then what else we got? By the way, I'm way over five things you could do for immersion stuff. But then, yes, yeah, Spotify or iTunes is also great. So you can Spotify or iTunes. We actually have Andra and a guy named Dave at the dojo put together huge playlists of awesome piping stuff that we disseminate to dojo members as well. But just find Simon Fraser University Pipe Band on Spotify or Apple Music or whatever. I think the whole catalog is there, and man, they just have some amazing stuff. Field Marshal Montgomery will be on there. Victoria Police will be on there. All the World Pipe Band Championship CDs that they used to make will be on there. You know, just find a playlist there and just kind of put it on shuffle in your car.
And that's thinking like kind of competition scene piping too. Like on those same platforms, you can get there's a lot of Pbrook stuff on there, right? You can get like whole big collections of like there's a series of albums that I came across a couple years ago where they give you the sung Pbrook first and then played and then sung a new one sung and played, right? All kinds of great stuff out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then other kinds of bagpipes too, of course. You know, there's also all kinds of great smallish bagpipes and big other bagpipes and all kinds of stuff out there.
Yep.
Does that count for immersion? Is it anything that, what about like generally, I hesitate to do it, but like Celtic music, does that count as immersion too?
Yeah, I think it counts. I like to think that when you first get started, try to do a lot of explicitly stuff that's explicitly related to what your interests are. So for example, if you are a competing Pbrook player, find those Pbrook ones. And then listen to 1,000 Pbrooks on your Apple Music. over the course of the next year, you'd be amazed just sort of what the osmosis factor will do. And then branch out from there. I do a lot, you know, I listen to a lot of just music that I like. And then I'm always thinking about, oh man, would this chord progression work as a pipe tune, or what would make that hard? And so I'm doing a lot of, you know, kind of out there listening, I think, but always relating it back to the pipe. So does that count as immersion? And the answer is, yeah, it probably does. Or maybe there's something to be said for just overall music immersion. But if you're going to be a bagpiper, right, and all you listen to is Radiohead, and you're trying to make that immersion, I'm not sure it's quite going to serve you. You know, you still got to listen to some, you got to get really familiar. Like, I can play the entire Live in Ireland album to you from memory right now.
I couldn't play you all of Master Blasters, but I could hum it. I could hum all of it. That's for sure.
And that counts, I think. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we really need to do actual bagpipe immersion. Okay. Next thing on my list is, it's not too late. Sign up for a week at a summer school somewhere and go do some bagpiping at a summer school.
Do you feel like, I mean, of course there's going to be good instruction. Of course there's going to be social interaction. Do you feel like a big part of the value of a summer school thing, though, is just like bigger chunk of time that's bagpipe dedicated?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think that's the real value, is you're hanging out with bagpipe people continuously for 5 or 6 straight days. You know, like right before you go to bed, you were hanging out with some pipers. And the first thing you're going to do when you wake up in the morning is hang out with some pipers. And then all the time in between is hanging out with pipers. And then, you know, a good piping school, which, by the way, you know, you can't have a summer school that's not good. That's the good thing about having so many, is you know that none of them would really survive unless they were good. So you can just pick one out of a hat and go there and it'll be a good summer school. Right. And then, yeah, you just go kind of hang out. And then, yeah, if there's an instructor that you love, you could look for a piping school that they teach at, and then just go sign up for that and just do that thing. Yeah.
This is maybe splitting hairs with summer schools, but I'm curious what you think. Have you ever gone to one? Maybe this isn't something you've been able to experience because of how immersed you've been, but have you ever gone to one by yourself, you know?
Gone to one what?
A summer school. Okay. Is it always you find a friend to go with you, or you know somebody there already, or do you ever show up, I know nobody here, and that's part of the experience, right? Is like the newness of the interactions and stuff like that.
Yeah, I remember a couple when I was a kid. I remember I went to one of the Ontario schools when I was a kid. I was kind of there by myself in the sense that like none of my core group was there with me.
Right.
But dude, within 3 hours, I had 4 new best friends.
Yeah.
Because we're all just bagpipe nerds.
Right, right.
You know, and yep, I remember just, yeah, we just palled around. We formed I can't actually say the name of the club we formed. It's controversial. I met some lifelong bagpiping friends there at that school, and it was great. It's so easy to do. When your interests align, it's really easy to make friends.
Yeah.
I've always found. I have a fair degree of anxiety when I meet new people. But for some reason, with bagpipers, it's not too bad. Probably because we all speak the same language, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're up way best. We're up way past 5 things you could do to get that immersion going.
Yeah, I was going to try to tally it up, but it kind of went fast and furious there. But I do want to say, Andrew, that
I have more. I have more. You want more?
Oh, yeah. Give us more for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Next one. Go to some big Highland games.
Big. I'm trying to think of what the big ones are that I know of. Queen Mary, maybe? Or
yeah, Queen Mary's a good big one. Costa Mesa, like over there on the Pacific Coast, Costa Mesa is always a good one. Pleasanton,
of course. That's probably the biggest over here in the West. I would think.
Over here on the East Coast, just to name a few, you know, we've got like Altamont games here in my neck of the woods. We've got Loon Mountain games. What else? We got Fair Hill games. These are the big ones, like the big ones. We've got Stone Mountain games. We've got Dunedin. We've got the Dunedin games in Florida. Like these are the big ones. And there's probably more that I've missed. Apologies to everyone I've missed. And then Maxville in Ontario. It's the beer tent. Has names of Scottish landmarks in the beer tent so that you can have some hope of finding your friends. That's how big the beer tent is. I don't know. Last time I was there was before COVID, though. So
that's awesome.
But those are amazing. All you have to do is just go there, and then you're going to be immersed. There's going to be immersion happening there.
And then there's the winter storm, of course.
Obviously.
And similar events, right?
Yeah, exactly. Winter storm would be a huge one. And then here's a last one I'll say before I run out of ideas, at least for the moment, is if you go to IcelandAir.com or if you go to AerLingus.com or even just look to your local airline, you will find it's actually not that crazy to just hitch an airplane over to the Piping Live Festival and the World Pipe Band Championships and just go do that.
Mm.
It would be amazing. I mean, yeah. So will it, you know, is this a low budget option? Not necessarily, but you might be surprised how inexpensively you could do it. And then just go to Piping Live in the world. I mean, that's probably the number one. That's probably the number one immersion option that I could think of. You know, you're in the mix. Literally everybody is there from all over the world doing piping stuff for a week and a half. It's amazing.
The model that you presented of this being like language immersion is really making a lot of sense to me, partly because of thinking about the way that we use language, right? And not to mix the metaphor up, right? But thinking about the way that you personally use the English language versus how you might use what command you do have of the French language, right? Where I would imagine it would be a much more stuttering, difficult. There's a lot of work that would go into stringing together expressing an idea in French versus English for you personally, because you have been obviously very, very immersed in English for such a long time, right? Mm-hmm. That it becomes, it's not a two-step process of here's my idea, now I need to put it into English so that I can express it. And in a similar way, that can happen with the bagpipe music that we want to play. It is in genres and idioms and, you know, formats that, like, if we're immersed in that enough, we can become like fluent at bagpipe music.
Totally. That's totally right. Points. You get points for that one.
Gold star.
Yeah, that's totally right. So, yeah, we kind of have to learn. We have to learn to kind of actually understand the language of bagpipe music. You know, that's the goal. And you do that with practice, sure. But immersion is, that's going to give you the why. Have you ever found that it's actually, if someone asks you why you play bagpipes, it's sort of an impossible question to answer.
Yeah, and it's a question that comes up rather often because it is kind of a weird hobby. So people do ask that question.
For sure, right? So the answer of why you play bagpipes is very hard to put into words, but I know why. I just can't explain it, right? Mm. And I think that's, it's sort of intangible. It's inexplicit. And I think that's sort of what immersion is. It's sort of like, it's filling you up with the reasons why you're going to do it. And then from there, the practice, the technical element, I think I mentioned it earlier, it's not work, it's play, right? So so it's like you're transforming like practice, like, ooh, I have to practice till, ooh, I get to practice. This is fun. I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Failing repeatedly, failing thousands of times before I succeed, like, cool, that sounds good.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
That is, I love that that's such an encouraging message, right? Because of course that's what we want. We all want this to be easy and fun. And that, I feel like it goes hand in hand with a very encouraging message that you opened up with, the suggestion that this immersion thing is the single, what did you say, the strongest correlate?
The single greatest correlate.
Mm,
I know that because we say it all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you were stranded on a desert island and you could choose between having your practice chanter with you and having an infinite collection of bagpipe music with you, which one would you pick?
I think I would pick having my chanter with me.
Yeah, to me, the answer is really simple, which is I would go with the bagpipe music, not with the chanter, right? The chanter's not going to do you very much good. Maybe some good. Like, you could always come up with ideas on your own, right? But the chanter is not going to do you a whole lot of good at all. And then meanwhile, like, the listening and the immersion is... See, now that I'm saying this, maybe I'm hesitating a little bit. But the immersion element, right, is going to fill your cup with tons of ideas, right? And then when you return from being stranded on the desert island, you know, what you could do with the practice chanter is... You thought you were never returning?
I thought I was going to die there.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd ever return. Also, yeah, I thought that we were talking about a pile of sheet music instead of... I feel like if it was music to listen to, I would definitely choose music to listen to.
That's what I was talking about. I was thinking
sheet music, and I was like, I think I'd probably pick the practice chanter over a giant pile of sheet music.
No, I don't think a giant pile of sheet music is what I was referring to.
I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. But there you go.
Well, you go ahead and hesitate about your answer. Yeah. Oh, sorry. It's so good at speaking over you. I'm just the champ at that.
But I was just like, you know, my analogy, I was giving this scenario. And then as I was explaining it, I was like, I don't even actually know. I think you kind of want both.
Well, we came up with opposite answers, even though it was based on some incomplete information. But then we both also hesitated about the opposite answers. So maybe that says something.
That's it. Huh? And there you go. It's the exception that's proving the rule there, Jim. So what did we actually conclude in this episode? Well, you got a list of actionable items you can do. That's good, right? And then you've also learned you shouldn't just say random stuff on a live podcast because you end up just totally screwing it up right at the end of what would otherwise have been a decent episode.
Stick the landing like a flaming comet coming into impact. Right?
Let's hear it in the comments, though, faithful Dojo listeners. In the comments, tell us, if you're stranded on a desert island, would you rather have, and let's clarify, a music archive to listen to? And maybe you could even watch it on your iPhone, which somehow continues to work, even though you're stranded on a desert island. Or would you rather have your practice channel? You can pick one or the other. Which one do you want?
Light up the comments. Let us know.
I see. I'm not quite sure what I think. I just want to watch it and stuff. But am I assuming I already kind of know how to play or not?
Yeah, there's some specifics with this scenario.
Yeah, this is bad. This is very bad. And then could you come off if you just had your practice channel? Another thing that was crossing my mind as I was doing this thing, which I was finding that I'm not actually sure I agree with. Would you come off the island like in a year or two with this whole new, super awesome, unique form of playing the practice chanter that's really special because you didn't have any outside influence while you were there?
Yeah, what would that isolation do to your creativity potentially?
Yeah, would the isolation benefit my creativity or not? So it'll be interesting to see what people think in the comments. Let's leave it there for today.
Hey everybody, Andrew Douglas here from the Piper's Dojo, and I just want to say thanks so much for listening to today's iteration of the podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard here today, it would be super helpful to us and to a lot of bagpipers out there trying to find us if you could give us a top-notch review on whatever platform you're using to listen to this podcast, particularly Apple, iTunes, and Spotify, and things like that. Your review would be really, really helpful. So if you have a moment today, definitely go over there and help us out. Other than that, until we meet again on the podcast or somewhere else, thanks again for listening.